Right, so let's do this then. So next section, running through the six. I need your top six prediction, Dre. I need your
Okay.
top six.
Okay, so I think as it stands right now, no big injuries. I would say City gonna win it again.
Okay.
Liverpool comes some second minimum.
Okay.
But we actually put
So you're not
a
backing your
fight.
team to win the league?
I don't know, dude. I need to see it. I might change this. This can be changed
No,
at
no,
some
no.
point.
This is a
But as it
prediction.
stands right now,
This is a blind
we haven't
prediction.
got the squad. We haven't got the
Okay.
squad that they've got. So
Okay.
I would say that we'll come second.
So number one, Man City. Number two, Liverpool.
So
Three.
Liverpool. Three, Arsenal. And
Okay.
I think four, Chelsea. I'm not
Five.
convinced with Man United. Like Man United are fifth. I'm not
Five.
convinced
Okay.
with them. You know, I feel they just scraped in the last time.
Okay. Six.
And then I would then you've got like the other Newcastle, I would say, at the moment.
Newcastle six. Okay, so that's your top six.
Yeah.
Mine, I mean, it pains me to have to say Man City again because you know how I feel about a team just dominating and it being really boring. And
But as long as there's a title challenge, then that's fine. It's entertaining.
I think Arsenal's time has gone. So I think it's going to be Man City. And if they can go invincible, they will really get flowers from me. I think it's going to be Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Aston Villa.
Villa.
Yeah, I think Aston Villa will get in the top six. And number six, Chelsea.
You think you think I'm sixth?
Yeah,
I've got more faith in Poch. This is so funny because a
listen, I just I'm
little
just
while
not
ago.
I'm not I'm not I'm not you know me, I'm very objective about these things. Where's our goals going to come from? Can our midfield deal with Liverpool's midfield, deal with Man City's midfield, deal with Arsenal's midfield? No. Our back line, we've lost Koulibaly. I mean, Koulibaly wasn't great last season. We've lost our experience. Fofana's injured again. So our goalkeeper, we've lost Mendy. We've still got Kepa. We can't even sign
Oh yeah, I
Caicedo.
forgot
So
some of these guys are gone
I'm
actually.
just like, what am I hanging on to in terms of confidence that we're gonna get? Listen, we're gonna do better than last season, which was 11th, but there's nothing I'm seeing that makes me go, yeah, we can compete with all these teams that have added in the goal scoring department in the mid. Nothing. Other than we've got a brilliant manager who's going to bring a brilliant energy. I mean, pre-season was good, but Nkunku now, I think, who had a really good pre-season, is injured. Looks like it's a knee, look like it's a long-term injury. So I'm just not see. I don't know what to hang my hat on and go, yeah, we're going to break into the top four. You know what I mean? So that's
I
so
think
that's.
I don't know. Like you've got a lot of players who are, I think, very good players. They're all young, but I just got faith in Poch. Like from what I saw, what he did with Spurs, that he's gonna. You're never gonna. I don't think you're gonna challenge for a title anytime soon. But I do think that I give him a bit more. His style of play and organization, you know, attacking wise, I think he's gonna bring out the best of that. Who was that
Listen, I
player that he
think
bought? Modric, is it? Is that his name?
Modric.
Modric. I think he's a very good player. I think he's going to use him. So
Yeah, I
he's
mean,
going to become your new Son, I think.
he's looked good in pre-season. He's looked good in pre-season and he looked lively, obviously, he's on his debut, but like he just petered out after. But listen, if it, you know, again, I'm big on teams that like any team in the Premier League, if you can have a player who scores 15 to 25 goals a season, like a Brentford, who, you know, Brentford having Ivan Toney is going to win them games.
Yeah.
And that's not even a team that's trying to win the league. You need prolific strikers. You need prolific goal scorers in your
Yeah,
team
you do.
because when it gets tight, they're the difference makers. You know, whether you're the top team, whether you're fighting relegation, you need goal scorers. And I can't see where it's coming from at Chelsea. I can see where it's coming from at Liverpool and Man City. Yeah. As I said, can't see where at that level it's coming from at Arsenal. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's always good to predict before the season because we can come back to it maybe and see how it
is. I think we'll be moving some of the stuff around. I put you like maybe in retrospect because I forgot about how many players. You know what? This whole Saudi thing has actually kind of messed some of my thoughts up because I wasn't aware that some of these players have gone.
Yeah, it's Mendy's just happened gone. In a flash. Koulibaly's gone. You know, Mendy, Koulibaly, Kante, they've got... So Saudi Arabia's taken, you know, some of our top players. I loved Mendy. I loved Kante. Kovacic has gone. You know, we've had our exodus of players has been substantial. I think we've had the most exits. And we needed to trim down the squad. But I think Chelsea have had the most exits of any team. You know, so...
Maybe I'm going to change my prediction. Actually, Man United are going to replace you. In
listen,
the top
if we
four.
Get top six, yeah. I actually think I'm managing my expectations this season. Like yeah. I think the days where you expect Chelsea to win and win the league and all that, we have to adjust from that because clearly this ownership is more about building a young
team. He just likes buying players. Like yeah. I don't think there's a strategy at all.
Yeah, I think that is the strategy. I think the strategy is buy young players, promising talented young players, and build an exciting team from there, which I respect it. Fair play. I just think that it you cannot have the same expectations that you had when the John Terry's and the Didier Drogba's and the Kante's were in the team. You have to shift your expectations.
Yeah, but you know what I would say is that when that team was being formed, I saw what they were doing. Do you get what I mean? Like, I saw the plan. Just like,
but it was, you about see winning.
But, it was about winning. Yeah, but you were bringing in tried and tested players who yes. had been, you know, very good in their individual leagues and they're coming together and there's a mentality as well. It just looks like you're just buying players. Now, Poch's could be a person who actually could put that together. As I said,
I don't think, you know. I see the strategy. I'm just saying the strategy is different to the Chelsea strategy of old, which is we need to win the Premier League. And if the manager doesn't win the Premier League, he's gone. That's changed. Yeah. Now we've got a nucleus of young, not nucleus, we've got an entire squad of young, promising players. And we're going to build this team over time to challenge for the Premier League. Yeah. So if Chelsea get top six this year, that is a massive improvement on last season where we were all over the place. Now they're starting to build their strategy. Top six, I think, is actually, it's a decent season given the players that have left and given the players that have been brought in. Then the following season, you go, okay, what now? Top four, how can we challenge? Can you sign a striker that's going to score, 20 to 25 goals a season? You know, so... But talking about a prolific striker, we need to talk about Harry Kane.
Yeah. Well,
should I stay or should I go?
Well, he looks at time of recording, looks like he's going.
He's going. And listen, I've been following this over the last 48 hours. And when I saw that the bid was accepted by Danny Levy, I just thought...
I was shocked.
First of all, I was shocked. But then... Even though the bid was accepted by Bayern, Harry Kane still needed to accept personal terms. That's the bit I think people often don't understand, that the player still has a lot of power in agreeing personal terms. So if Harry Kane did not want to go, he ain't going, right?
Yep, yep.
But all I've kept thinking was, like him or hate him, Danny Levy is one of the smartest operators in the world. Do you know why, Dre? Because...
Yeah.
This man refuses to sell to Premier League rivals. And we've had this conversation about Pep and Arteta and the relationships between clubs, and Arsenal and Man City clearly have a good one, blah, blah, blah. Sell players to each other, whatever. Danny Levy doesn't do that. So no. Danny Levy has prevented Harry Kane from going to a rival club.
Mm-hmm.
And winning trophies. He's got now I think it's 100 million or maybe short of that. Maybe I think it's 90 million or something.
Yeah.
He's got 90 million from Bayern Munich a year before or less than a year before Harry Kane could walk out on a free. And psychologically as well, what was happening yesterday was that fans started going, Harry Kane's going to bottle it. So there was pressure on Harry Kane to go to Bayern. But if I'm Harry Kane, I'm thinking, I could go anywhere next year.
Yeah.
But Danny Levy has created this situation where Harry Kane almost has to go because it looks silly if he doesn't go. Because the whole narrative over the last however many years has been Harry Kane deserves to win trophies. What a player. He, you know, goal scoring genius, blah, blah. I think that's genius, Dre. I think it's absolute genius because I think the person that has won out of this the most is Danny Levy. Because I think if you really asked Harry Kane what he actually wants, I think he probably would have wanted to go to a Man United.
Yeah.
I think or Manchester City.
He seems like home. Yeah, and so he could get the record.
No, listen.
And then he could transfer
paid,
the title.
He's going to get paid, I think, 400 grand a week or whatever. Fine. Wow. His money's gone up. But what I'm saying is, in terms of like from a football perspective, this transfer for me just shows the genius of Danny Levy because he's now put his team in a situation where, okay, he's conceded the fact that he was going to lose Harry Kane. He's made money off the transfer a year before the transfer, which if you look at Mbappe and what's going on at PSG, they're going to lose him for free.
Yeah.
And my man's sitting on his hand saying, you can do whatever you want. You can freeze me out, but listen, I'm going.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened at Tottenham. Because if Harry Kane really wanted to be difficult, he could sit on his hands and say, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that a situation's been created where Harry Kane almost looks stupid for not going, I think it's brilliant. I think it's really...
I mean, I think he is stupid. I'm actually surprised that he's actually gone.
I'm shocked.
He does seem to me as being the most ambitious person.
I'm...
You could talk about getting trophies and talk about wanting to win trophies, but I'm not 100% certain. Yeah, because I feel that if you really wanted that move, you would have put in a transfer request. And I know there's financial reasons why you wouldn't.
Right.
But you would have put transfer request in last summer. When it comes to City trying to get you, or whatever the season before that.
But even if he put in a transfer request, Danny Levy's not letting him go. So the point I'm trying to make is Danny Levy has managed to keep control of his situation, make 100 million, around about 100 million from a player who has a year left on his contract, who could quite easily, legend of the team, legend of English football, could quite easily say, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. But I'm shocked with Bayern as well, like, you know, just on that. Like, Bayern, I mean, they got Lewandowski as well. So
No, Lewandowski's at Barcelona.
Oh, yes. Sorry, they've always season behind.
They've always wanted.
Yes.
You know, I think Harry Kane fits into that sort of Lewandowski.
Yeah.
You know, profile in the sense that he's a striker that just gets goals, right? Like, you almost build a team around him in terms of getting goals and, you know, being a deadly finisher, potent finisher.
Yeah.
So I see it working for Bayern. I see it. But I just think it's brilliant business. I really do.
It's, you know what, to be honest with you, I know Harry Kane might have done it with reluctance because, you know, English players don't.
But this is what I'm saying. But you see, we're saying it almost casually. Harry Kane, deep down, probably doesn't really want to go to Bayern, but he's got to.
Yeah,
he has to. Because
he might fancy the actual. I mean, he might want Man United
but you see, this is what I'm saying. Harry Kane probably prefers to stay in the Premier League
yeah.
and play for a Man United or a Manchester City. But Danny Levy has locked it off. It can't happen. Like,
no, that's not, you're not doing that.
So what I'm saying is, from a sporting director's point of view, for someone who's on the executive side of the game, it's brilliant from Danny Levy.
Oh, no, he's got £100 million for a player who's same situation as Mbappe, where, like, you know, your contract is running out. And I think that's amazing that someone is going to be foolish enough to be able to spend that type of money on him.
But PSG also tried to orchestrate that situation, right? Where they want to sell him to Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Saudi Arabia said, you know, $1 billion or whatever.
Bid some stupid money.
Mbappe said, I ain't going. So do not be shocked if Mbappe walks out of Paris free as a bird next season.
Yeah, but I understand you.
That's an L. That is a massive L for PSG if that happens.
Well,
and that's going to happen.
I think they should be like using him for the last season that they've got him, you know, to try to win the Champions League, because they still have a very good a good team there. But I just think that you gave him too much power in the first place, because there's all the stuff for the penalties and all that type of stuff that you could, you know, you could apparently have. But I feel that, you know, Daniel Levy getting £100 million for a player who's 30 last year's season. I on your point, I actually totally agree with you.
I mean, £100 million for a player now is, as we've seen with Caicedo this morning, is it's almost like nothing now in football. So I'm not focused so much on that. I think it's the timing that's genius.
I think
the fact he's done it before, just at the eve of the season starting, which is going to unsettle Harry Kane and the fans. I think the fact that he blocked the Man City one before, the fact that none of his rivals have got this player, Harry Kane, even though Harry Kane wants to go to his rivals, including Chelsea. The fact that Harry Kane's now, it's like, ball's in your court, Harry. He massively put the ball in Harry's court, where it's now a bit like, the fans are a bit like, mate, you got to go, mate. Like, don't bottle it. You've got your chance now. Go.
Yeah.
That's been the narrative. And I'm thinking, and so Harry Kane's probably thought, fuck, I got to go.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's so good from because Danny Levy, really, if you look at who's won in terms of like what they actually want, Danny Levy.
Yeah.
Danny Levy would have wanted to avoid Harry Kane walking out for free. That would have made Tottenham look stupid.
And people don't, like, honestly, if you're a club and you got to negotiate with Danny Levy, it's just like, oh.
No, but you see, but the reputation he has is an earned reputation.
Yeah.
And the reputation he has as this hard businessman is in moments like this. I don't even think it's hard. I just think it's very, very smart business. Because we're not here to be friends necessarily all the time. We're here to get...
Honestly, I am shocked that Bayern Munich are playing that type of money for a player of that age. Like, Mbappe,
I'm not. It's Harry Kane.
Yeah, but it's like, win now. And you're going to win the league anyway. I'm not saying you know, it was a close call last season for them. But that means if you're paying that type of money for him, it's Champions League you're expecting to win next season.
What, Bayern?
So there's pressure on that whole situation.
But Bayern, I mean, that's Bayern's objective every year.
But the thing is that, like, if you... Lewandowski, I think they got him a free transfer or something, small minimal
from
fee.
Dortmund, yeah.
Right. So, I think there's not, like, that much risk in that. It's just like, well, you should be challenging for the Champions League. I think if you're paying £100 million for a player, there's pressure on winning, producing now. So, I would look at it, if I was Harry Kane, is that I need to, A, be top scorer in the league, Bundesliga for sure, and I need to be at the very minimum getting them to the semi-finals of the Champions League. Otherwise, it's a failure. It's just like, you know, you could have just not had him and do the same thing.
If I'm putting a bet on, I'm betting on Bayern Munich. I mean, winning the league, they do it with their eyes closed.
But then why spend £100 million in?
Put £100 million, spending £100 million.
But it's not something that they normally do. They don't normally spend
But it's Harry Kane. I mean, you would break the bank for Harry Kane, even at 30. Harry Kane is one of the best footballers we've ever seen, goal scorers we've ever seen. You know, so it's a brilliant signing for Bayern. All I'm saying is that I don't think it's necessarily was the first choice on Harry Kane's agenda. You know, let's even push it forward a minute and go forward to next season. If you give the if Harry Kane was leaving on a free, I don't think he'd leave on a free to Bayern. No. I think if he's leaving on a free, he's deciding between Chelsea, Man United, maybe Liverpool, Man City have got Haaland. But do you know what I mean? I don't think Harry Kane leaving on a free next year would have been would have included Bayern. So the fact that he's going to Bayern now, Tottenham are the ones that win. Danny Levy is the ones that win because they've got 100 million out of a player who could have walked out to anywhere. And Danny Levy's all about, I am not letting players go to my rivals. That is a strategy of Tottenham, and I respect it because other teams don't have that strategy, as we've talked about with Declan Rice and Man City. So anyway, props to Danny Levy.
I'll give him props on that because that whole thing. For you to again, I was quite shocked that he accepted the bid. I just think that he's all right, cool. You know what? Obviously, I'm not going to get that type of money, you know, on offer again. And then I literally need to rebuild this whole team. And I think it's good. It's a good thing for Tottenham because they've been too reliant upon Harry Kane. And for the last 3-4 seasons, it's been, is he leaving or not? It's tiresome. So I think he's cashed in now. So, you know, well played to him. I would get tired of it, you know, every season. The same thing again and again and again.
Yeah.
Will he stay? Won't he stay? All right, go.
And then the question is, how do you replace him now? How do Tottenham replace him? You know, who's the next, you know, who's going to replace Harry Kane? I mean, can you replace him, I suppose? But either way, listen, I think brilliant transfer tactics from
who are they going to get? That's the thing. I think that you could be looking at that Juventus striker.
Blavich,
the one that you lot should have been getting, but you know, again, you lot fumbled the bag again because they just wanted a £40 million and Lukaku. You should have been like, thank you, here you go, because then you've got a proven, I would say, could be possible world class striker from what I've seen of him. Very good player, but again, it seems to be difficult for you lot to buy the right players, but you just buy these random players. All around the place.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I bet hide if we beat us on Sunday.
So surprise packages. I noticed none of us put in Newcastle in the top six.
I just don't buy them. To be honest with you, they do. I think because they haven't. Obviously, we know that they've got the money. They haven't splashed the cash on a big, big marquee player that shocks everyone. That, oh, you got him. Like, you remember when they got Shearer and they had Ferdinand and they had Ginola and they had, like, you know, all of these players who were just, like, up there. Or even if we go back, a big splash for them, I remember when they got Asprilla. Like, that was like, whoa. Like, these guys are serious. And they had a really good team. I don't buy that. I think they're a very sturdy team. It wouldn't shock me if they come sixth or fifth.
Yeah. Well, I suppose my question is, you know, I agree with you. I think that, you know, I think it's brilliant that Newcastle are even in the Champions League. Like, I think we need that. But I think last year, towards the end of the year, you saw that they were just a very defensive team, got a lot of draws. Eddie Howe's got them very organised. But actually, you know, can they compete at that level? Can they, you know, can they beat a Man City and an Arsenal and... you know, who's going to score goals for them, etc. I think they've made some good signings. I like the guy, Tonali, they signed.
Italian very good player.
Very good player. But yeah, I mean, look, I think they're just going to enjoy the Champions League. I'm just interested in, I think, because I put Aston Villa in my top six, I think Aston Villa are the new Newcastle. I think Aston Villa this season will be the surprise package in terms of the top six that Newcastle were this season. I think Unai Emery's brilliant. Obviously, they've restructured now. So Christian Perso's left and they've brought in the sporting director from Sevilla, who's who does all the transfers with Unai Emery. So Unai Emery has a lot of power now, I think, at Villa.
Yeah.
And I just think Villa, I mean, what they achieved last season to get into the Conference League, and I think they're going to go again. And they're going to have that, you know, that mentality that we talked about, that sort of hunger that we talked about earlier in yep. terms of, like, when you're starting a season, what are your aims? What are your objectives? What makes you hungry, right?
Yep.
I think that the chance to do what Newcastle did, because they've got a reference point in terms of Newcastle, I think Villa are going to be the team to do it. Villa and Brighton. But I think Villa have just got a little bit more going forward. But Villa and Brighton, for me, could be a surprise package in terms of the Champions League.
I'm no longer going to overlook Brighton now, because Brighton just seems to just reload. And their whole model, they've probably got like a cheap replacement in mind for Caicedo already. And the amount of times they've had to just rebuild that squad, and then they've got better and better and better. And I like the way that, is his name De Zerbi? I do like the way he coaches. He coaches on the front foot. I was really impressed with, you know, pretty much like the whole of their team. Obviously, the midfield is going to leave a hole, but again, I need to see how they've managed to replace a big hole with McAllister and then now Caicedo. But I really liked him. I feel like the perfect signing for them, obviously they couldn't afford him, but the perfect signing for them would have been Ward-Prowse. I would have liked him to go there. That would have fitted in, in Brighton. I think that was a decent midfield fit for them. But you know what? This team, they always bring someone from that no one's heard before. Listen,
Brighton will bring someone from some obscure league, and they'll end up being one of the best players.
Which is what I feel. Mitoma Liverpool, was last year. Your team, we should be doing. Like, rather than keep on buying the player, buy them before they get to Brighton. Buy them before they get to a top level. Take a risk.
Of course. But
like,
I think...
buy smaller players. You know,
but I think in Brighton, in Liverpool's case, it's Liverpool. You know, you still got that pool. You still got that romanticism that the best players want to play for you, even though you might not be in the Champions League. And I think that's what you had with Bellingham. So even though the transfer strategy should be like, oh, let's get players that are not necessarily A-grade players yet... You've still got the opportunity to sign the best possible players like Bellingham. But anyway, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
New kids on the block. Who do you think will be the best newcomer? So we've got obviously Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United. Random signing, I think, Ross Barkley to Luton. Random. But Ross Barkley, I mean, it's kind of sad, really. I was thinking about this, that it's actually quite sad. It's like it's just, you know, when you see these players that you think
you lot ruined another player, that's what it is. Chelsea ruined yet another player.
Why are you blaming us? Why didn't
you bought buy players and put him in a bench? And he should have stayed where he was. Sometimes grass isn't greener, people.
Sometimes grass isn't greener, you're right. Sometimes players get injured at the wrong time. So he got injured, I think, at Chelsea, and it just never really materialized. Then he went to Villa, he had a good spurt at Villa. And then used to see someone like Ross Barkley coming back into the Premier League. And no disrespect to Luton, because, you know, they're in the Premier League. But you think, bloody hell, like, that's Ross Barkley. Like,
How did you get him?
Yeah, like, Ross Barkley's a baller. Like, you know, if you think about his attributes, if you think about who he was at Everton, I find it a little sad seeing that, like, because, listen, I'm sure his agent would have spoken to lots of clubs in the Premier League about him. And it's probably happened where they're not interested and Luton are the only club that are interested, I'm guessing. But I don't think a player like Ross Barkley chooses Luton unless it's his only option. Do you know what I mean? And it's just a little bit like, it's a little bit sad, I think, when you see players...
Luton fans, you know who to get in contact
their
with.
Way.
Because the full disrespect to any's giving
you. But come on. Like, I think, listen, I have to be honest. If you ask Ross Barkley, you know, if you're coming back to the Premier League, what club would you rather go to? Yeah. I don't think Luton would have been on this list, let's be honest. But you've got to do what you've got to do. As a footballer, you've got to do what you've got to do. Do you know what I mean? He might be thinking, okay, I'll go Luton, do well, and then puts me in the shop window to go somewhere else. That's a strategy as well as a footballer. You know, I know that. Sometimes you think, okay, I'll take a step for a longer step to go somewhere else. And it's smart to do that. I'm just saying that it's an indication that he's lost his way if he's coming back to Luton.
Yeah.
From where he was, from where Ross Barkley was, is what I'm saying. Like this guy, when he
was... he was up there. He's like one of the...
With England, like Villa, you know, obviously Everton, Chelsea, like this was a top player. And so I find it a little bit strange, but listen, if he has a good season, who knows? He could be in the shop window for other clubs, you know?
I don't know. I think that ship has sailed now. I feel that ship has sailed with him. I feel like, the injuries, him going to Chelsea, kind of loss of form, all of that stuff. Like, again, you guys, I've ruined players all the time, buy players and just pick a mix, leave them on the bench.
Okay, Jay, you've said that like 3 times. You've made your point. Thank you.
Anyway, that
I see a supermarket sweep. I get it. Let's see on Sunday, yeah?
Oh, let's see
the supermarket sweep. Let's see if the supermarket sweep team is going to beat the fancy, smart, you know, money ball team. Let's see.
Moneyball? Oh, wow. All right.
Liverpool are Moneyball, isn't it? Oh, we're now, so smart. We don't sign Bellingham, but we sign Casado for the same amount.
We're getting into this reckless. Sense. Let's do this.
Reckless. Well, but before reckless, we've got to do predictions. So, player to watch.
I'm going to say it. Oh, well. Actually, you know what? McAllister. For me, for us... I think actually, you know what? Yeah, no, McAllister. I think he's a severely underrated player. But if I'm not doing all right, if we're not talking about our own personal teams, because that's too easy for us to do.
No, anyone in the Premier League player to watch.
I mean, I'm quite interested in. I'm going to watch Declan Rice. Because I want to see if he is the difference. Because I'm not saying he's rubbish. Just want to make it clear, England fans.
Well, that would be silly to say he's rubbish.
But I'm not saying he's rubbish. What I'm saying is that there's that tax. Like, are you that level?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's fair.
Do you know what I mean? That's fair. Because I feel like that what happens is that the tax that we have and the promo that we give the England players, it adds on. Let's say in theory you're 6 out of 10. Let's say in theory, with the English taxes, that you're 8, and then they start banding world class. Like, relax. So we'll see if you are one of the top level Premier League players. Not just because you're English, and not because you're West Ham captain. Now you have to step up because there's an expectation, and also a style of football that you have to play as well.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. So my player to watch, and I'm just pulling up his stats now from last season, so I'm not offending anyone.
Okay.
Let's see. Last season, 22-23. Okay. My player to watch is Jack Grealish. Now, Jack Grealish, I love him. I love Jack Grealish. Why is your face like that?
I'm just... Carry on.
I love Jack Grealish. He's a Brummy, you know, he's put Brummies on the map. Brilliant player. But I've always said, and he said it himself, that he's underachieved in terms of his numbers. Yeah. Now, he had a brilliant season last season, became a regular for Pep, was brilliant, brilliant in the Champions League final, won the treble. But his stats last year still, in the Premier League, 5 goals and 7 assists. Now, I genuinely think that Jack Grealish can be the world's best. I genuinely think Jack Grealish, if he wanted to, and he put his head down and he became a little bit more selfish on the pitch and he shot a lot more and he didn't pass and he became a little bit less predictable, he could be Kevin De Bruyne levels. Yeah. I'm now thinking, okay, what is this guy going to do to finally get double figures in goals and assists in a season? Because he's never. I don't know if it's never, but certainly since he's at Manchester City, he's never got double figures in goals and assists. And that Manchester City team is full of players who get double figures in goals and assists. Whether it's Kevin De Bruyne, Gundogan, Haaland, Jack Grealish, is this your season to get those numbers? Like, I just don't understand. So I'm watching, and it's coming from a place of admiration because I do love Jack Grealish as a player, but I've always looked at his numbers and thought, this don't make no sense. Why doesn't this guy get to them world-class Ballon d'Or numbers? I don't get it. He's got everything to his game. And now I feel like he's got the belief as well. I feel like now Pep has put his belief and faith in him, which he talked about, I think, at the Champions League final when he got emotional. I think he now believes that he's one of them players. So I'm interested. I'm interested to see that from Jack Grealish. That's who I'm watching. And BDI, I'm watching. I'm watching, Jack. I'm watching you. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you. Because I think you can do it. But I feel like he's got to change something in his game to get those numbers. Why do you look so shocked?
You know what, Eddie? I love you. You're my sister. I think you need to get some more rest because you've been working very hard. And did you put world class and Jack Grealish in the same sentence?
No, I said no.
Or did could
you
be
anything I said.
Or could be or elite. Listen, 100%. Jack Grealish. 100%. Right, I'm just gonna say this because he might see this because of your affiliation with him, Jack. This is not a personal thing. This is just my personal opinion. Please feel free to prove me wrong. You were, to me, a passenger in this whole procession last year and the year before.
Come on, man. That's not fair, Dre.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying you're rubbish.
Top player in
I feel that you've got better defensively. I see the difference between Pep getting you to track back. And you were part of the actual machine that was, you know, enabled the likes of the better players, I feel, the Bernardo Silvas, the Kevin De Bruyne, the Erling Haalands, to be able to shine and score, and also Gundogan as well. But am I going to hang my hat on you being the main man to win someone the league? I don't think so. I feel that you're saying in Bernardo Silva's league.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's a player to watch to the extent that I want to watch and see whether he can get to those levels. So well, I believe he can, but I'm saying even in a good season last season where he's won the treble, yeah, 28 matches, 5 goals and 7 assists, there's still some green space for Jack Grealish to get better. And I'm saying, how are you going to be the next new De Bruyne? How are you going to be? Because these guys get double figures with their eyes closed every season. Haaland, your mate. Jack Grealish and Haaland are top mates. Bro, ask your friend. How does he, because Haaland's going to get double figures with his eyes closed this season. Goals.
I don't think it's right that he should be kind of looking at Haaland because that's a different position.
I'm not saying look at Haaland. I'm saying
what he should be looking at is Bernardo Silva, because Bernardo Silva leaves.
Exactly.
If Bernardo Silva leaves that team, they don't win the league. That's as straight
I think Jack Grealish has the potential to become one of those double figure players. Yeah. And so far, he hasn't. And I'm saying, I'm watching to see, what is he going to do in his game? Because Jack Grealish has said it himself. He said himself, I need to improve my numbers. How do I become a numbers monster when it comes to goals and assists? And I'm saying, he's my player to watch for that reason. I'm interested to know how he's going to go to another level. That's it. I'm not saying he's world-class yet.
But it's also fair to say that with the numbers that we've got, if we're just talking about stats, then that means you are a passenger. You're a passenger on the bus to success, and that's fine. At the end of the day, is that people, the team is 11 people, but are you one of the main people? And I'm sorry, it's only hard ass England fans who would put him up there with the elites. His profile is up there because obviously he's an England player.
I'm agreeing with you. I don't.
But if he was French or if he was something else, people would be like, nah, they wouldn't buy
it. I'm agreeing with you that I don't think he's elite yet. I'm now talking about his potential to be elite.
You think he can be elite? I don't feel 100%. He can. I feel he holds 100%. still holds onto the ball too long. I think that's something that Pep worked on for him to release the ball quicker. I don't think you take enough shots. I haven't seen you do too many game winners. Like, I'm talking about
this
being the
saying.
Man. I want
to
see
he's
more than
to
just
watch.
Stats. More than the stats, because, like, you know, stats can prove anything. But I just feel that, can you be, if you could be one of the main players, that Gundogan wasn't top scorer or nowhere near that, I don't think.
No, but you got double figures.
But he scores when it counts. Do you see what I mean? I just think that there's a level that we need to get to for you to be one of the main players, main men. But Salah, he plays in the same position, wide. But look at the goals he scores. He's the main man. He's one of the people that Liverpool are looking to score.
Gundogan got similar stats, to be fair. Gundogan got 8 goals, 4 assists last year in 31 matches. But it's still more than Jack Grealish.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, but they could have similar numbers, but there's a difference between you scoring 2 goals against a dud team. And then you scoring against a last minute winner against, one of the rivals. That's what those are the players I rate high who are you're scared of when they get the ball. Gundogan is one of those guys.
Now, these are the levels. Kevin De Bruyne, 2022-23 season, 7 goals, 16 assists.
Mm-hmm.
21-22 season. So the last 3 seasons, they've won it. 15 goals, 8 assists. 2020-21 season, 6 goals, 12 assists. So whether it was assists or goals, my man is getting double figures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the levels I'm talking about for Grealish, because it's not like he doesn't get into positions.
Yeah.
I did a game last year, Man City Leeds at Leeds. Jack Grealish, I think he got 2 assists. He assisted, and it was lovely, really nice. He set Haaland up. But I remember thinking, go alone, go on your own, like. It's not every time as a striker or as a forward player you're this fantastic teammate. Go alone sometimes.
But
and
can
listen,
you?
If,
no.
If you miss, take people screaming at you saying you should have passed it. But unless you actually give it a go, you're not going to get them numbers if you pass
it. Well, to be fair, he has a position that he has to play in Pep's system. You go rogue like that, then you're on the bench.
I'm not saying go rogue. I'm now talking about the situations where in that system, Pep has said it. In that system, you are now in a situation where you can curl it into the top corner and you pass it. You're now in a situation where you're through on goal 1v1. You've got a chance to pass to Haaland, but you decide to go alone. I'm not talking about going rogue. I'm saying there are times in the system, in the Man City system, where Jack Grealish finds himself in positions where he could quite easily score and he passes it. There's times in the system when I could tell you what Jack Grealish is going to do before he does it, which is come inside on his right, he goes backwards and he passes it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying he needs to add something more to his game, a little bit more ruthlessness for him to get to the levels of Kevin De Bruyne. You know,
but maybe that's just. But I think you're going to be watching the same thing because he's not got that in him. You could have that technical ability to do that. I'm not saying he's a very skillful guy. But at the end of the day, do I feel that you're of that level? No, I don't. I think that I rate Saka higher than him.
Yeah,
I think Saka is a person.
Fair.
But I don't feel that I'm not worried about you getting the ball. I'm worried about Saka getting the ball. And that's the thing. I'm worried about Silva getting the ball. I'm worried about Haaland getting the ball. Gundogan when he was there. Do you see my point? So, like, I just feel, for me, again, Jack, if you've seen this, prove me wrong. You don't have to. I'm no one. But, like, for yourself, if you want to be regarded as top-notch, not just because you're an England player in this country, top-notch in Europe, and not just a part of the sums, then I think you have to stand out more.
Who's going to finish top scorer?
Haaland. Yeah, no, I can't, they set up so many chances for him. I just don't see it.
I think there's no, I can't see any other
And the thing is, he also, you know, punishes teams lower down the table. So, yeah. You know, a Luton,
well, that's
or
where he
like
gets
that,
his numbers.
You're going to top five goals
hat
against
tricks
you.
And four goals, five goals against the lower team. Yeah, I think that's the same. Top assists.
I'm gonna depends on where he plays. Actually, you know what? To be honest, at the moment, I'm looking at Silva. I think Silva's that good.
I think top assists is gonna be Bruno Fernandes.
Could be. I mean, all right. If we're gonna do that, then I just feel that McAllister's got something in him. I've seen his preseason.
Yeah, or a Liverpool player, actually.
His link-up play with a lot of the strikers.
That front three are deadly. Actually, I want to change that. I think top assists... Who plays in the 10 for...
Us.
Liverpool don't really have a 10, do they? They don't really play with a 10.
Well, in that position, if he's playing in his actual midfield role...
I'm going to stick with Fernandes, Bruno Fernandes.
Okay.
Top,
I don't know who he's passing to.
Best defender.
I would say the who's that centre back for Man City again?
Who? Which one?
The Portuguese one.
What's his name? Fucking hell, I keep forgetting.
Yes, him. Well, what is it?
What can I take? Man City, you mean?
Man City, yeah.
Oh, you mean Guardiola, the new one?
No. He's Croatian, I think. Give me 2 seconds, I will find out for you. Man City defenders,
Laporte.
No, he's French.
Who are you talking about?
He is. Give me 2 seconds. Ruben Dias.
Oh, I love him. Sorry, I thought, Portuguese guy. Yeah.
Very good player. Very good player.
Ruben Dias, okay. Best defender, Ruben Dias. I'm going to go with... That's a good one, actually. I think Virgil van Dijk's going to have another strong season. But then it's a hard one because, obviously, I've put Liverpool down as fourth in my top six, which instinctively means that... Because I think when Virgil van Dijk has a strong season, Liverpool are inevitably in a title race. So it sounds contradictory to say Virgil van Dijk is going to be my best defender, but he's going to finish fourth. So I've got to change that. I think. Yeah, do you know what? You're right. You know, if Man City win in the league.
Yes, Diaz. But I'm going to give an honourable mention to Konate. I think he's one of the best defenders out there.
Konate's a brilliant defender.
He covers a lot for Virgil, because Virgil has had injuries, and you know there's more responsibility put on Konate. I think that he's not only good defensively, he's very good offensively as well. He sets up the team momentum moving. So I definitely feel that he's one to watch. But if we're looking at who I'm going to put my money on, it's definitely Ruben Dias. I think that he's a very, very good defender.
Manager of the year.
Let's not go with the obvious.
I'm going to go with Erik ten Hag. I think he will win a trophy this year, as he did last year, and I think they're going to finish second.
I'm thinking.
Because, I mean, honestly, I mean, Pep won the treble, to be fair. He deserved to win it last year, but there was a lot of candidates last year, like people like Zerbi and Unai Emery. I think manager of the year should go to shouldn't necessarily go to the manager that wins the league, although winning the treble deservedly. But I think you've also got to look at resources, what managers do with the resources they have. Eddie Howe, I thought, was a deserved candidate for that. So, but yeah, this year I think it's going to be Erik ten Hag.
If Villa do what you say they're going to do, I would say, we're going to be looking at Unai Emery, because I've been impressed with the turnaround and how he's organised the team in the short space of time that he's actually been there. So I feel like he could be a strong contender. Obviously, I Klopp has to rebuild. I'm not just being a homer in this one. Klopp has to do a rebuild with the defense, and then so if you at least get to second, then I feel that that's a and in the title race. I'm not talking about like, you know, City blowing it away like Arsenal did after, you know, 3 weeks to go. I mean, if he does this rebuild that he's supposed to do, and then obviously using a lot of the youth players, and we are in contention and we finish where we are, I've got to be looking at Klopp as well.
Okay.
Because it's not like you have to rebuild the whole squad. So, you know, it's not just about spending money. Again, people, it's not FIFA. It doesn't, there's coaching involved in this.
All right. Well, we are obviously at the section of reckless talk. And this reckless talk has been set up wonderfully for the fact that Chelsea and Liverpool are playing on Sunday. So my reckless talk is that we're going to beat you. Supermarket sweep, you might call it, but I think we're going to win the game.
I think if people could actually see my face, it's almost like a lemon bust in my mouth.
To be honest, I think if Chelsea win, that's a great start, but I am a little bit worried, to be honest, because Liverpool's midfield is very, very, is looking very, very good. But that's why I feel reckless saying it, because I don't actually know. I don't know anymore. I'm not overly confident that we will win that game, but I will say it with my chest that we will.
I've just had some news. I don't know if it's just nonsense or cool talk. It probably is. But apparently, it's been reported that, it's Fabrizio Romano. Oh, God. So you're going to have your opportunity to laugh. Moses Caicedo has just informed Liverpool that he only wants to join Chelsea.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about!
Caicedo's decided to keep his word and only accept Chelsea as personal terms and agreed to end of May. Chelsea
are
set to bid again in order to get the deal done with Brighton.
Wonderful. I mean, I take it all back, Chelsea. I take it all back about not being a club that can attract these players anymore. Wow. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to win on Sunday now. Come on, Caicedo. Welcome, Moses. Welcome. Welcome to the family. Thank you for not going up to Liverpool. Now you lot have got to regret the fact that you've lost a midfielder. You were going to pay 110 million. And you still did not get Bellingham, which was stupid. So I'm very happy. That's fantastic news. So what's our midfield going to be now? So Enzo, Caicedo.
Oh, you know what? You don't have to rub it.
Well, we'll wait. I mean, Fabrizio Romano is very reliable with his information, but let's see if that's actually the case. Until he's signed on the dotted line and he's holding up the shirt smiling, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to get too excited.
I mean, it has been the rumor that he wants to live in London, so I was a little bit shocked that he was going to come to us, but I was happy nonetheless because I do rate him highly.
Who announced that he's signed for Liverpool then? Was it who?
No, he hasn't signed. He's going. They've accepted a bid, and he was supposed to go up for. He was supposed to go up for a medical. Now, you know what? I'm not gonna rag on this team on Liverpool just because, you know, things haven't gone our way. As I said before, players choose where they want to live. And if a player wants to live in London and he doesn't want to live in Liverpool, then what can you do? You know, at the end of the day, is that I'm not going
to,
you know...
Probably doesn't have to move, actually. If he's already in Brighton. If he's already in Brighton, he probably doesn't even have to move.
It's late in the day, as per usual, and I think that Liverpool should have been sorting this stuff out way beforehand and then had these signings sorted out way beforehand and just paid for Lavia a long time ago and then get another one in Thuram. And we'd be very, very happy with the business that we've done. But I haven't even got reckless talk now. I think we'll still beat you.
Wow, you know, Dre doesn't have reckless talk. That's a first.
And there's extra motivation if he's playing for you lot on Sunday. So, but I'm gonna have to if we don't get a centre midfielder, a defensive centre midfielder, by the time that this is my reckless talk, then we will not get fourth.
Well, we won't come in our
top four. We won't. If we are with the squad that we have at the moment, we will come fifth again. Because that means that.
McAllister would have been the difference.
Yeah, honestly, because that him and obviously McAllister have a relationship. They've played together, rhythm. That means McAllister has to play defensive midfielder. That's if we don't get someone. Then that means that we've got to play Gakpo further down, and then that means you're just rejigging people in positions that they haven't played before.
Well,
again, we'll still handle you lot. Don't worry about that.
I'm buzzing. But
it will just be But this is what I'm reading. It could just be a load of crap.
Dre, it's been amazing. Start of a new season. What would you say? Monday motivation. Let's end with some Monday motivation.
Enjoy the game, people. Enjoy the game as it is. And please stop putting your hate into the game. You're ruining it for others. You will ruin players coming over to your particular team, especially if you're a hate-filled fan base. You know, can you just enjoy the game and don't spread hate? Just enjoy. Have a debate. Try to actually think of something intelligent to say without slagging someone's off appearance, colour, or families. That's what I ask.
Amen to that. I will say the same. Amen to what you just said. This is a game that we love, man. This is a game that we, you know, it's meant to be joyous. Yes, we're passionate about it. Yes, we are, tribal about it. But it was not created for people to be abused and depressed and feel like the world's over because, you know, you support a different team or you've done something wrong on a football pitch. Let's really think about this now. Do you know what I mean? It's just a game. It's a game that we love. It's a game that means a lot to us. But, you know, whether you're Lauren James, whether you're Harry Maguire, whether you're me, whether you're Dre, we all have, you know, we all love the game. And ultimately, it's not about the hate. Like, we need to move away from that quickly.
Exactly.
So I hear you, Dre. I love that. I love that as an ending.
Let's do it. Let's enjoy it. It's going to be another good season.
Thank you so much for listening. Monday Morning Centre Back bi-weekly. This season, we're going to be bringing you all the hot takes, analysis, transfer, tea. Dre having a breakdown because he couldn't sign a player. All of it.
You should see me now. I'm in pieces now.
All of it. All of it.
God. Just never stops.
Until next time.
Peace. Thanks for listening.
Peace.